Welcome to week six of our seven-week series called Heartbeat. Glad for those of you in this room joining us for this weekend. Glad you're joining us at North Kokomo. Very glad for those of you at the Y. And those of you online, you can be a lot of different places this weekend with fall break and the kids' schedules changing. So we're glad wherever you are that you're part of this series. And as Dorothy just reminded us in the video, we're going to shift focus this weekend. We're going to take a little different focus. We've been focused some here on the building of the church. We've been focused some on out in the world. But this week, we're going to focus on the home. And I called her Dorothy. I assume everybody here recognize the movie? Raise your hand. Recognize the movie? Wizard of Oz? Yep, thought so. You know, when I was a little kid, the first two or three years, I only saw probably about 75% of it. Because when I was a little kid, about that time that witch would come out and get her fingers up and say, "My little pretty, I'm going to get you." Then I'd go to the kitchen and get some popcorn and miss about 10 minutes and come back and catch the rest of it. So it took me a few years to where I had enough nerve to watch the whole movie. But you saw the clip at the end where she says, "There is no place like home." And that's true. There's no word I could use in this message that would cause a more deep-seated response inside of your heart than the word home. It's the word that maybe for some of you causes the best memories of any memories you have in your mind. It can also be the word that causes you to remember some really tough things that happen at home. Some of your greatest joys, maybe some of your deepest sorrow. Some of you, when you say the word home, there's even smells that can come to mind. There's sights that come to mind. There's images. And some of you say, "I try not to think about home because of some things." So it causes responses. And in this series, truthfully, home is a thread that has run through the last 5 weeks and will run through next week as well. Remember the first week when Pastor Chris talked to us about we need to meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ? There is no place better to start, as Dorothy said, in helping folks take their next step than home. There's no place like home. Remember the second week about us becoming more like Jesus together? There's lots of places where you can get with folks and God will work through to help you become like Jesus. But there's no place where God will work perhaps the most keenly. There's no place like home and the folks that you share a roof with. Remember the week where Brent talked about worshiping God together? And it's a big deal to worship God. And there's a lot of places you can worship God. But in a real sense, there's no place like home to respond to God for who he is and place him in the center of everything that goes on there. A couple weeks ago when Pastor Chris talked to us about everyone matters, all people matter to God, there's no place like home to make sure that that happens, no matter if there's one person under the roof of your home or if there are 10 or more, all of them matter. And then last week, it's okay to not be okay. And you may go through life and say, "I can't be, it's not okay at work to not be okay. It's not okay in this place to not be okay. It's not okay at school to not be okay." But there is no place like home that should be a safe place and a place where you simply can come in and say, "I'm not okay, and it's okay to be that way." And then you may have seen this image around town in some places. Show us the fraction, the 1/168, if you would, please. This sticker we came out with a few years ago from here and put it on a bunch of cars and a bunch of t-shirts and stuff, and it reflects 1/168, and at the bottom of it, usually, it'll have the words that says, "It's not enough." And what that means is there's 168 hours in a week, 7 days, 24 hours in a day. We spend approximately an hour, if you come to one service a week, in church. And we made a decision a few years ago and said this. We can either say, "Let's try to do all the faith stuff in that 1 hour. Let's go in there, let's try to cram and the pressure, and I hope they don't miss because we got to wait a whole other week." Or we said there's 167 hours where you're not here, but a bunch of them, you're at a place called home. And we said, what would happen if we were doing some things with our spiritual life and faith there? So tonight we're simply going to walk through the statement, we build faith at home. And we're going to walk through that in your notes. We're going to take some notes, take a look. Number one, first word, we. Your church is your partner in building faith at home. We. Your church is your partner. You say, you don't know my home. I don't have to. It doesn't matter what's true at your home. In this place, at North Kokomo, online, it doesn't matter where your home is. It doesn't matter what's true there. If you have a home, we're your partner in helping build faith in that home. It doesn't matter, as I said, what campus you're at. It doesn't matter what service you come to. It doesn't matter the challenges at your home. Your home may be going through a great period, and you say, we've just got great stuff going on. And you, or your home may say, my goodness, we're having all sorts of bumps in the road at our home. It's a rough place. Home is rough for us. It doesn't matter. You're not alone. We, as your church, are your partner. You can come to a church and say, well, my home must exist to help them. You can think that, but you would be wrong. This church exists to help your home. You may say, I've got a teenager, and we've got a student pastor, and Luke, and we're supposed to help Luke. And you can think that, but truthfully, in the context of this message, Luke exists and his team with him exists to help your home. It's a matter that every pastor, every leader, every program, every entity here is meant to help the homes that make up this church. We're your partner. We're all in this together. And God talks about it, both Old Testament and New. Let me show you in Psalm 78 what he says here. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable, and I'll utter the dark sayings of old, things that we heard and known that our fathers have told us. Now notice the next portion right here. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. And then notice this, so that the next generation might know them, and even the children not yet born, and arise to tell their children, so they could all set their home on God. He was speaking to a nation here. And he says, I don't want to just talk to you. I want to talk to your kids. I don't want to just talk to your kids. I want to talk to their kids. I don't want to just talk about the kids that are born. I want to talk to you about the generation that's not here yet. We have a job to do together, and it's to help each of those homes build faith at home. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Until most of us attain... No, that's not what it says. I'm sorry. I got to get my context right. Until every home except empty nesters... No, that's not what it says. Let's see. Oh, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of Christ. When you do a message on the home, when we came to this weekend, we know it's true. Some of you sitting there are saying, it doesn't apply to my home. My home's alone. My home's different. My home's this. My home's that. And it's good for some of the good homes, the perfect homes, but not my home. And there's something I want you to say, because you say, I'm on my own, and I don't have anybody to help me, and there's nothing they could do if they tried. And I've got to get this. The next statement is something that just was birthed in us to look at this. Listen to this statement. When it comes to my home, it's not me, it's we. It's not me, it's we. Check your spelling on that first word. Don't you dare use an M. It's we. We're in this together. We have folks that are dedicated to help you, because God's called us to be your partner. And he wants us to help build faith at home together. First word, we. Second word, build. We build. Building faith at home takes intentional effort. I've got something to show you here. A couple things, so I hope I don't tear anything up here. This is a longer cloth than I counted on. There we go. Okay. Bought this about a week ago. This is a box of Legos. According to the box, there are 484 pieces in this box. I bought it a week ago because I figured it takes about a week for these pieces inside to assemble into some sort of a cool thing. So I've had it sitting in my office for a week, and I'm going to wait till tonight, and I'm going to unveil it to you, and let's see what's in there. So this unpacks, and this comes off. Oh, no. They're still in the package. There's nothing happened. Hope I've got the receipt. I'll need to take these back. They're just not building themselves at all. Now let me show you what I've got here. This is Lego Crossroads. I commissioned this with a 6-year Lego veteran builder in our church. Talked to him, he said he'd been building them for 6 years. He has about 10,000 Legos. There's 918 in this construction. And matter of fact, he's been doing it for 6 years, which is remarkable because he's only 10 years old. And you can't see, but in the window there with the cross on it, like on the front of this campus here, there are two little Lego figures inside that window, and they're kind of turned to each other. And I asked him, I said, what are those two figures doing? And he says, they're turning to their neighbor. Okay, just let you know, this is as real as we can make it, okay? Now, listen to me. This is 6 hours of work, a design drawn, planning, evaluation, sorting the pieces out. This, I did nothing. This, somebody put some effort in. This, I didn't put any effort in. And there's a note next in your notes that needs to be highlighted. To build something, you got to do something. To build something, you have to do something. Faith just won't appear in our home. We build faith at home. And I ask you tonight, what are you doing to build faith at home? Notice what God's word says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words that I command you today, they'll be on your heart, and you'll teach them diligently to your children. That's doing something. You'll talk of them when you sit down in your house. That's doing something. You will, and when you walk by the way, you'll be talking about them. And when you lie down, it'll be one of the last things you'll say. When at the end of a day, you'll be talking about it. And when you rise, it'll be one of the first things you say. He says, there's going to be things you're going to do in your home because that's what you do to build faith in your home. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, your children need to be brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, so you need to do it. You need to bring your children up. You're doing something to build something. And then notice this one. This one wasn't in your notes. Jude chapter, the only chapter, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. Notice this. Some of you say, well, this message must be just for folks with kids and stuff. No, if there's only one person in your home, one adult in your home, this verse applies to you. Building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Listen to me. You need to do something to build something. You need to do something to build something. And I think inside of all of us, we say to ourselves, I want to do something, But what do I do? What could I do in my home to build faith? And we put in your notes three words that any home can do. If you say, I'm not sure what to do, and we've got a home center here at South Campus, you can stop by and talk to folks. You can talk to one of the pastors of the different age groups of the kids, and they'll talk to you about what to do. But these are three things you don't have to go talk to anybody to figure out. And one of those is this, to pray. Pray for the people that live under your roof. If possible, pray with the people that live under your roof. We believe you should do that at least daily. We believe it's something, this message being preached, it's something you can do before this day ends. You say there's only one of us, then you won't have any trouble praying in unison because there's just you, but you can pray for God to help faith to grow in your home. You say the kids are gone, there's only two of us. There's nothing better that a husband and wife can do than pray together. You say, our kids are little and it's hard to collaborate. You know what? There is nothing more powerful than your kids seeing and hearing you pray. It doesn't matter your circumstance. You want to do something to build faith? Pray daily. Second word is talk. Right out of Ephesians chapter, or out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. You talk about the things of God. You teach and you talk. And we believe that could happen at least weekly, that there'd be a time where you say, let's get together, and you say, what are we studying? If you have kids in certain age groups, we can give you help with that. Each of our departments, what they work on a weekend, they make available to homes to where you can talk to your kids about what we've talked to them about on a weekend, that where we partner together. You say, we don't have any kids in our home, but I want some help on marriage. We have a wonderful marriage ministry here, and they'd be willing to give you resources and help to be able to know what to talk about. But there ought to be times where you talk about the things of God with those under your roof. And then the last word is serve. We believe this. A lot more is caught than is taught. You can tell your kids, your grandkids, you can tell your spouse over and over again how important God is to you. But when you show them by serving, when you take what God's placed in you and live out your faith in serving, when you do it together as a home, something happens that builds faith. To build something, you've got to do something. And these are three things anybody can do. First word is we. Second word is build. Third word is faith. We build faith. And building faith at home should be top priority. Top priority. I'm going to go back to the Legos for a minute. Not these, but let me tell you, I've done a little Lego research. I was fairly Lego deficient before this message, but now I'm becoming a lot more Lego learned. I found out that the Lego Corporation believed at the end of 2017 that they have produced somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 billion Legos since 1958. They believe that they have enough Legos that they could put a pile of 81, I believe it was, in front of every person on planet Earth and still have some left over. And there are folks that have done some remarkable things with them. And I'm going to show you three or four pictures quickly. I want you to see this picture. This is a Lego house, actual two-story house, has a functional shower and bathroom in it. It has furnishings and all, it's all done. You can walk through it. It was built by a guy, and he used 3.3 million Legos. 1,000 people worked on this. About a year after it was built, he got in trouble with the Lego Corporation in terms of some copyright things, and they took sledgehammers and chainsaws in and tore it down, broke it up into pieces. Okay? Check this picture out. Soccer stadium. This is a cutout of a soccer stadium. It's meant to be a depiction of a soccer stadium, a famous one in Germany. They tell me that there are 1 million Lego blocks and approximately 10,000 little Lego figures in the stands and on the field. They put in 4,200 man hours to build this. And there's 5,000 LED lights that lights up the scoreboard and everything in it. Just a remarkable structure. Now check this one out, a cruise ship. This is a cruise ship, was built by a cruise line in Hong Kong. I'm told there's 2.5 million Lego blocks there. And it took an entire cruise ship of people 2 months to build it. But here's the last one, at least for now. This is a replica of the Tower Bridge in London, built by the Land Rover Corporation a couple of years ago. They took 5.8 million Lego blocks, which I'm told if they laid them end to end would stretch over 200 miles. And they built this. This is 42 feet tall. That's real water under there. The bridge is fixed to where the drawbridge goes up and goes down. Those are two real Land Rover automobiles that they drove on for a commercial there. And they worked on this project for 11 months. Now, before you say, you've got too much time on your hands, preacher, to be able to do all this and tell us all this, let me tell you this. There's lots of Lego-type stuff that lots of people invest time in. And do you know what I've had happen? You come to a home and you say, we'd like to help you build faith at home, and we've got this thing you could do. And you know what I sometimes get told? Oh, we'd love to. That's a good idea. But we're too busy. We've got a lot of important stuff we're doing right now. And I'm going to ask you this question. What is so important that you should spend time doing it versus building faith in your home? I mean, you can get busy at a lot of stuff, a lot of Lego type things. There can be so many, and you say, yeah, I want to fit it in, but what is so important that you would spend time building it versus building faith at home? Here's a couple of questions from Jesus in Mark chapter 8. What does it profit a man? Man, these are tough questions. To gain the whole world. I mean, do stuff and succeed, and yet forfeit your soul. What can a man give in return for his soul? And what I want to do here in just a moment, we're going to have a family from the North Kokomo campus share their story. They went through some struggles of trying to build faith in their home. They came to an action pact, which is our service where we put elementary families and children together. And they spent time in that action pact service, and the mom and the dad talked to their kids about their faith and how they had come to build faith in themselves and how they wanted to see faith build in their kids. And when you listen to the story, they became so glad that they took those steps and gave it that priority. So check this out on the screen, if you will.
My name is Kim Shade, and this is Caitlin, my daughter, and Bradley, my son, and this is our story. So when Sean and I were married, I was not in a good place with God, and I knew he wasn't a Christian. At that point in time, I really didn't care. I was just so in love with him. And I remember after we had gone on our first date, I called my girlfriend and said, that's the man I'm going to marry. I know it. So he broke up with me several times because he kept saying, I'm not good enough for you. You don't understand what you're getting yourself into. And I really didn't. He was an alcoholic. He was on an abuse in Allen County. They have court ordered where if he would drink, it would make him sick. And so he never drank in front of me. And it wasn't until after we were married that I found out that he had a problem. I remember going to the church saying, I can't be the only wife that's ever gone through this. Can you please give me some help? And so they directed me to a counselor. And so I just started working on myself and doing counseling. And he just kind of continued to spiral. I just asked the Lord to give me the right words and let him work instead of me trying to change him and do it on my own, because it isn't in my power. And I'm finding that in life, that's what I gotta let God work. I have to get out of his way sometimes. I want to be, you know, obviously a tool or a vessel, but when I let go and said, okay, God, you do it. You want this more than I do. You love him more than I do. He did. Our small group leader said, have you ever just prayed with him? Like, you've prayed for him, but have you prayed with him? And I thought, well, no, because he doesn't pray. Like, he doesn't. But okay. And we went home. I went home. And he, you know, he had been drinking. And I just told him, I said, this is such a burden. And this isn't what we want for our kids. Why do you keep doing this? And he just couldn't answer that. Like, he didn't. I said, can we just pray together? And that was the first time that we had done that, and it made such a difference. And so that, like, God really used that. And I don't know why it took me so long to figure that out. God just kind of changed him. And then at that point, then he, had talked more about wanting to be baptized and wanting to make that known. And I finally went to one of the guys that was the head elder, who had really spoken to Sean and just became a really good friend to Sean. And I said, would you just baptize him? And so we set it up that he and Caitlin both were baptized on the same day together. So they had the same born again birthday, I guess. And so that was a really exciting time for us. It was July 31st in 2015, and I literally saw that man change. I mean, just right before my eyes. He had a love for people. He put them first. He would drop whatever he was doing to go help somebody. His servant heart was just huge. He was a wonderful husband at that, he was a wonderful husband anyway, but from that point, he really made it a point to love me. And he told me one time the best thing he could do for his kids was to love me. And he did everything from that point on to make sure that I knew that, and that it was just like, he was just a totally different person. And he was a wonderful father to the kids. I think, I'm not sure how much they knew of his. I mean, they didn't see that. I saw a lot of it, but they didn't see all of that. They have the good memories of the man that he became. We just enjoyed life, and I kind of felt like we had arrived. You know, we did a marriage class. We did studies in our small group that just were just wonderful, and we really, you know, we were connecting and growing the way God really wanted us to grow. We really felt like, this is it. Like, we've made it. We have the best marriage. We have the best kids. We had no complaints. And that day we went to Action Packed on May 21st. And which we had done on all the Action Packs, you know, from the time that we started going to Crossroads. So after that Action Pack service, we came home. We spent the day at home. He was working on our pool. It was a beautiful day. We were so excited about, you know, spring and summer coming up. But he, 3 o'clock that next morning, he had a massive heart attack. He was dead before he hit the floor. So I will always have that remembrance that we were sure. Like, we know that we know that we know that where he's at. And, you know, my kids heard it from his own mouth. And so there just was no question. Besides the fact that we saw the difference in him, we saw his life change. We got to experience that change. He reached that goal before we did. And he gets to see God face to face. And I see worship totally different. I see communion totally different. It just, as hard as it is, there's a lot of joy that comes from knowing what he gets to experience, and it gives us the joy that For sure.
11:30 a.m., May 21st, they were in the room with dozens of other families back in our student auditorium. They sat in a circle, and first Kim and then her husband shared with their kids about how they knew Jesus and how their faith was real, and they were counting on it to take them through life and into the next. And they talked to their kids about how important it was for their faith to be real and personal to them. That happened about 11:30 on that Sunday morning. And as she said, before 3 a.m. the following Monday morning, he'd gone out into eternity. And one of the last memories the kids had was Dad looking at them and saying, "This has been important to me, and my faith is real." I ask you, what could be more important than building faith in each member of your home? Fourth and final statement. We build faith at home. Building faith at home requires your home to be, quotation marks, ready. You need to be ready. It's not something you just say, "Well, it'll just happen, doesn't matter how I do it." No, you've got to get your home ready. And there's a couple things that we want to put in place here as we end this service in this time and head into the time of worship. So what do you need for your home to be ready? Number one, you need the right foundation. The right foundation. I'm told, I consulted several elementary and middle school aged Lego building experts this week. Again, I got a Lego education. And I'm told that this is an official, this is a classic blue base plate. You put this down as the foundation, and then you take the Legos, and that's what you build on. And they said, if you don't have one of these, your Legos will just go everywhere. But if you put this, then you'll have something secure to build on. They said, you want to build Legos, Pastor Kevin, you need one of these. You want to build faith at home? Let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Please hear me. If you don't possess a personal, faith-based relationship with Jesus Christ, then you can't build faith anywhere because you have no foundation to start with. You've got to start with the foundation. And I'd ask you the question as we're winding down this message tonight, in this room, at North Kokomo, anywhere you are online, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? That's the foundation. If you don't have Jesus, you can't even start building faith. He is where you start. A relationship with him is the basis for everything else you do. Second point, you need to address any current hurts and conflicts. You say, "I can't wait to get home and start building faith." And the truth is, every home has a history. And I'm going to show you a verse in just a moment that is just one of the oddest verses in the New Testament. It's a verse, can you believe this? Can you believe this? It's a verse where Jesus looks out and says, he tells you there could be a reason that you would leave church early. Now, church in their day was different than our day, but he's going to talk about bringing your sacrifice. And it used to be when it was time to have a sacrifice brought to be sacrificed at the temple, and they'd get it and prepare it and bring it and stand in line and wait their turn or this. And he's going to say this verse, look in Matthew chapter 5. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, you've raised that animal up, you're standing there in line, you want to do the right thing to be able to respond to God because worshiping God is a big deal. And when you get there, you remember that your brother, and I understand that's sort of a term that could apply to anybody, but really, there's no place like home to start the application of it. Your brother has something against you. Check this out. Leave your gift. Oh my goodness, leave church. It's not, I mean, you know how long I stood in line? You know how long I've raised that goat to be at the right size and the right type to be able to leave your gift there at the altar and go be reconciled. Work that out with your brother. And then come back and offer your gift to God. We're under this roof, or you're under the North Kokomo roof, or maybe you're at home right now and you're dialing it in. You've got us on a screen. And there's something in your home. There's something relationally between you and somebody else, maybe even under your roof. And Jesus says, until you clear that up, it is hard to respond to me and allow me to work through you to build faith in your home. I'm gonna ask you 3 or 4 questions and I'm going to pray. So, is your home ready? Is your home ready? Do you have the right foundation in place in your home? Does every person in your home that can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are there any, next question, are there any hurts that need healing in your home? Any conflicts that aren't addressed that need address? And then I ask you this question tonight, are you ready to build faith in your home? Now I'm gonna tell you this, during worship in this location, also at North Kokomo, during worship, we're gonna give you an opportunity to access something. I wanna show you a picture of it here, I think. This is a Lego magnet that we had put together for this weekend. Goes on your fridge or wherever you'd like to, file cabinet, wherever you'd like to put it. It's got the magnet on the back side. On the front side, it's got the sticker, We Build Faith at Home. And that magnet, you're going to get to take one of those home. I'll talk to you more about that in just a moment. Take one home with you and let it be a reminder to you and a commitment to you that we build faith at home. But right now, I want to pray for those of you here. I want to pray for you online. I want to pray for the North Kokomo folks. And Kevin's going to talk to you. I'm going to pray for God to take this next few moments and get us ready to build faith at home together. Let me pray. God, we thank you that we're all in this together, that you made us partners, one of another, that you've given us the tools to build with, that you've given us the foundation we can lay to build on, that you've given us the clear instruction to make sure things are ready and right before we build. And you've given us the opportunity. We've even had the story tonight of somebody that built faith at home and then was reminded in a very abrupt manner about how important it is to do so when you can. Because tomorrow we don't have for certain. So God, in this time, I pray for each home in this location. I pray for each home at North Kokomo, and I pray for each of the homes that are joining us online, wherever they are, that they would look with honest eyes at what they're doing, of how ready they are to do something else, and how much priority they're giving to building faith at home. And we ask you to do this now during this next time of worship and response in Jesus' name. Amen.